One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for coming back to the show. This is Ryan. I'm here with Bobby.
Woo!
And Dave.
Hey, what's up?
It's good to have Dave back.
It is good to have Dave back.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Big Frog was nice. I enjoyed having Big Frog, but it's good to have the trio back in.
I want to start off this week with a very specific question to you guys. I want to see if this ever happened to you. The reason I'm bringing it up is it just recently happened to my friend of mine, my friend Zach. Have you guys ever been told that something was okay to do in someone else's house and it didn't seem right? It didn't seem right. Something about it said, are you sure? Maybe you clarified 8 or 9 right. times and it totally was not cool. Think about it, because I'll tell you what happened to my friend Zach, which was the impetus for this question.
Okay.
His buddy was like, let's go over to my friend's house. You don't know him, but let's go get fucked up. Now, Zach likes to get fucked up. In fact, he travels around with a backpack that has a propane-powered torch in it just for
wow.
his wax dabs.
Wow.
And I say propane, I mean that tank that you power a small camp grill
yeah.
with.
Yeah, for sure.
He needs that much horsepower to get fucked up. So anyway.
He's serious about it.
Oh, yeah. He's like the hitman of weed. Like, if he goes somewhere and says, want to smoke some weed, he'll, like, undo a suitcase and start assembling a hookah. Like, holy shit, where'd you get all this stuff? Anyways, I digress. They go over to his buddy's house, who he does not know, and he meets the guy briefly. The guy goes in the other room, and they're in the living room, and he's like, hey, man, break out your bong, man. Let's do this. And he's like, I don't know, man. We're in the dude's house. You sure that's cool? And he's like, oh, dude, we go way back. It's cool. It's cool. He clarifies. And I'm sure you see where I'm going with this.
Right.
So they light up, and no sooner than they do, the door to that room kicks back open. This beast of a homeowner comes running up, takes the friend that brought my friend Zach over there in the first place, lifts him up by the shirt, slams him against the wall, and goes, my fucking kid is here. I have fucking custody issues right now. What the fuck are you doing? And meanwhile, he looks over at Zach like, who the fuck is this guy? What a position to put someone in. You know what I mean?
It's so bad because to the guy who's getting roughed against the wall, yeah, he's getting thrown against the wall and he's getting yelled at, but he's getting yelled at by his own buddy and it's his own fault.
Yeah.
The other guy is an innocent victim
right. Absolutely.
All he knows, this guy's schizophrenic and he's going to start shooting soon.
Right, he doesn't know the situation.
Yeah,
right.
The guy pinned against the wall has gotten everybody mad at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is how the foot you get off on with this guy, by the way.
Right.
This guy, other guy that brought you over, he might have some good shit in the bank with this guy where they can get past, but this is your first impression.
Right.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had something like that?
I went over to a buddy's house party one time, and I was told it was okay to invite some strippers. So I called a couple of chicks up. Turned out not okay. Not okay.
They were actually prostitutes.
Right.
I think that's what the problem was.
Not technically. They were free.
I'll tell you one I had. I was the opposite side of this. I was the guy whose house people were brought over and told certain things were okay that were not. I had a condo downtown when we were younger, in our early to mid-20s, and I was one of the first buddies, me and my other buddies who got the condo, were like the first guys in our group to really have a good independent place to hang out. It was downtown. You'd go do stuff. You know, maybe somebody had a condo in National City somewhere that was a studio apartment.
Ew.
But this was like
That was like Gilligan's Island. You were trapped.
Yeah.
You ain't going anywhere.
This was the party place. This was the place people came, and we could go down to the bars, the whole nine yards. I had a lot of people coming in to stay with me, and I also kind of had an open policy of, hey, if you're downtown, you're not hanging out with me, if you're just downtown getting drunk at a bar, I'll let you crash on my couch so you don't drive home drunk, because
sure.
that's what everybody would do.
Right,
they'd go
absolutely.
Down to downtown and get drunk. Even if I wasn't involved, I'd have people knocking on my door at 1 a.m., hey, can I sleep here? I had a buddy.
No, go back. I'm sorry. Were you there by yourself, or
no,
did you have a roommate?
I had two roommates.
Two roommates, three bedroom, I'm
uh-huh.
assuming.
Yep.
Okay, so a big place?
Big place.
Okay.
Pretty right. big condo with a loft and a downstairs, whole nine yards.
All right, I'm on board.
I get one of those knocks at 1:30 in the morning, and I go down, and it's a Saturday, so I'm up. I have some people over. We're having fun. Open the door up, and it's this guy. I have never seen this guy before. But again, like I just said, I have two roommates, so I'm thinking to myself, oh, he's here. Maybe he's dating my female roommate, or maybe he's buddies with my male roommate. Who knows? And I go, so yeah, can I help you? And they go, yeah, I'm looking for Bobby. And I was like, yeah, that's me. And they go, yeah, your buddy, he said we were just over down there at O'Hare's, and he said I could stay here if that was
oh wow
if that was okay. And I was like, what do you mean, like come meet him here, and he's like, yeah, well, like, he was partying with me, and we needed a place to crash, and so he's going to, like, come by later, but I beat him here, and I'm already here, and he said he was okay, and I was like, that's kind of weird. I don't even know how you got through the front gate of the condo.
Right, that's very stringent. Yeah.
Yeah, but all right. I mean, I guess if he's on his way here, we were having a few beers. Come on in. Let's see. Yeah. And so he comes in and he hangs out with my friends. Automatically is one of those super off-putting, way too drunk, somewhat feely dudes to
Ooh,
all.
I know that guy.
And it's me, and it's not a huge group of people, but I have like maybe six people there, four of which are girls, and he's doing the way too handsy, way too grabby
hey,
type
let's
thing.
Let's do a second hug. Yeah. Bring it in for another hug. I don't think that first hug would really
you know,
did
it. It takes 20 seconds for the endorphins to release. Just let me hold on to this real quick.
So finally, it gets to the point where I'm like, where is my buddy? I'm texting my buddy. He's not answering. He hasn't answered anything.
Meanwhile, this guy's like, you guys never played No Pants Dancy Dance?
I do the thing where I go to the bathroom. In my own fucking house, by the way, I go to the bathroom to make the phone call because I don't want to just be out there in the kitchen in front of everybody.
Who's like, this fucking weirdo?
Yeah,
dude, I'm picturing like the strangers or funny games where like the friend is like tied up in this guy's trunk. This guy's pulling some weird home invasion.
That's why I go to get the Batleth. So I go into the bathroom. I call him. He's still not picking up. I'm texting him the whole time.
I'm getting the blowgun.
Slowly, people start trickling out. I'm super pissed.
Is this guy driving them out, or is the night just ending?
I mean, I think the night is just ending, but I'm super pissed because as it gets down, there were two girls at that time that I was interested in both of them, and I was like, ooh, both of them are over here. I got a pretty good chance of something happening with at least
this
one.
This guy took him aside like, all right, Bobby, is it? All right, listen, bud. I got a plan. I'm going to bang both of them.
Yeah.
I'll bang both of them. You sit in the corner and, you know, tape it or something.
No, but I was intending that this little thing would kind of break up and me and whichever one of these girls seemed interested would go up to the loft, hang out. Maybe something would happen. Who knows? That's what I was intending at the time. Now I've got this guy who's going to be sleeping in my loft, presumably with my friend who whenever he shows up. So I have to call an audible and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just wait till it dwindles down to meet this guy, the one of the girls that wants to stay, and I'll say, let's go watch a movie for our own privacy. There we go. You know, problem solved.
Sure.
Okay. I wait for that to happen.
You're the creeper.
Yeah. So I wait for it to happen.
He's always been the creeper.
I wait for it to happen. Both these girls live in my building at that time, and so it, like, you know, it's fairly feasible that they could stay for a very long time. Anyway, it comes down to just one of those girls, myself and this guy, and I'm going to do the whole, hey, let's go see a movie. I go, hey, let's go watch a movie. Let's go watch that movie in my room. And he goes, I love that movie.
Of course he does.
I love that movie.
I didn't say what it is yet, Dick.
I remember I was just looking at him, and I think it was like American Beauty or something, too. It's not like I was suggesting a lighthearted comedy. I'm trying to go for something that is like...
You're setting a vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Rochelle.
And I'm like, you know what? The DVD player up in the loft is broken, so I was actually just going to watch it in my room. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's fine.
I'm game.
We'll go.
I'm game.
We'll
go. Oh, my God.
He comes in. He goes into the room, scares her off, so she ends up leaving. Now it's just me and this guy watching American Beauty in my room, and I'm like, you need to leave. You need to get out. He goes, sleeps in the loft. My buddy never shows up, never texts me. The next morning, that guy, I don't know what kind of carte blanche he has gotten to not only stay at my house, he is making himself breakfast.
Oh, my God.
When I wake up, my roommates think he's one of my, like, close buddies or something, and they're like, even that's kind of weird. Like, it's weird because he's using their food and stuff, you know?
Right.
He has claimed squatter's rights. Yeah. He's evicting us. He's taking the place over.
And then at the end, when he finally leaves, he tells me, like, he doesn't leave until, like, 10 a.m. that morning when I was finally like, listen, bro, we're all leaving, and you can't stay here. Like,
right.
You need
like,
to leave.
No, my buddy's out of camp.
You need to leave.
It's fine.
And he mentioned I'm not even going to say his name, but he mentioned my buddy's name, and he's like...
Damien Mercado.
No, he's like, are
Dave
you...
Dave Gallons.
Are you kidding me? I spent $50 on that asshole's tab, and he said I could stay here as long as I wanted. He had bargained my house as a trading post because he ran out of booze money mid-bar run and was like, if you pay my tab, you can stay at this house, eat their food, drink, have fun, the whole nine yards.
And watch American Beauty
yes.
while spooning Robert Timothy.
He used it as a bargaining chip to get booze money.
That's the part I'm most disappointed in. Bobby, you were playing the odds so well with two chicks. Like, I'm going to
get
one of these.
Yes.
I can't believe you didn't bang the guy. Like, when that became your only option, you should have sealed the deal.
No, you didn't see him. He was skinny.
I was waiting for this to take an urban legend twist. Like, oh, I met that guy 4 years ago, but he's been dead for 3 years.
Well, sometimes on a lonely night, you can still hear him ask to crash at your place.
Sometimes in an early morning, you can hear the sizzle of your roommate's eggs. Anyway, no, that's frightening that you even would allow that to happen.
Yeah. It was one of those, the worst scenarios combined where you have just given too much leeway to the people around you. You know how that is. You give too much like leeway, and most of your friends totally respect that. 9 out of 10 be like, this is great. We want to make sure and they're super careful about it. Hey, this is cool, right? And then there's that 1 out of 10 that's going to take that way too far.
Right, yeah, right. Sure. Well, the thing is, when you're that young, you're idealistic, and you trust your own judgment way too much, mm-hmm. and you believe in people too much.
Yeah.
So you're still in that mindset where anyone that I've ever once had a beer with and we had a few laughs, that's a solid dude.
Right.
There's nothing else I need to know about him. We had some laughs and talked about girls one late night while drinking Keystone Lights.
Right.
That's a solid dude. Like, for instance, when I was in college, most of my friends were in the Marine Corps, and they were all stationed at Pelton. So I became the guy, because I was going to San Diego State party school, on the weekends, on Friday, like maybe Thursday night or Friday, I'd drive to Pelton, which is only like 45 minutes away, collect them in my four-door cab truck, mm-hmm. and drive them back to San Diego State, and they'd stay with me all weekend in my apartment, and we'd have a lot of beers, we'd chase girls, it was a lot of fun.
Right.
But they, more often than not, they'd always have like a buddy they'd met on base who I didn't know, but they'd vouch for him.
Sure.
So, okay, you know. And then when it started to get weird is when said buddy would show up, sans the guy that I like went to high school with.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, like, hey, Shores, remember me? B-Love, remember? You know, Robert B-Love? I'm like, oh, right, you're Deleon's friend. Like, yeah, well, I'm here. Oh, yeah, man. Remember when you were blacked out drunk? You said, come by any time? Like, probably, yeah. So,
cannot
anyway,
confirm nor deny that story.
I probably, it does sound like something I do.
Anyways, got me on that one.
Yeah, so, you know, so that happened a couple times. Most of the time it would be okay, but this one time, like, they showed up on, like, a weeknight. And now, this is back in 2006. So I still had an address book. And so I
remember those.
Yeah. Were they really fun? Yeah. I call it my Chictionary. I put little markings next to who was, anyways. So anyways, they show up. I'm like, it's a fucking Wednesday, man. Like, I party a bunch, but man, I got a final in the morning. They're like, yeah, it's all right. I'm like, oh, I'm glad you think so. But just like you, I'm like, I gave him some leeway. Yeah. I had him in. And that night, this is really weird. This does take an urban legend turn. They were sleeping in my living room, like one on the couch, one on the floor next to the couch. I had this dream that they were going through my address book. And the next morning, I wake up. They drank all the beer out of my fridge, and my address book was off the shelf and on the floor face down, like open.
Oh.
I'm like, motherfucker. I woke them both up. I'm like, yo, what? Yo, did you fucking go through my fucking address book and call people? They're like, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Here's the reveal. Shores sleptwalked. He had the dream about the address book. He sleptwalked, grabbed the address book, and dropped it. Then he wakes these guys up. Yo, will you fuck with my address book? And like, what are you talking about?
You're Tyler Durden.
How come every story I tell, I'm Tyler Durden? That is the fourth or sixth time one of you assholes have decided that I was just imagining the whole thing. Anyway,
largely because you punched yourself a lot while we're doing the podcast.
Well, I'd aim for Robert, but he can duck those.
That's right.
Anyways, I took them at their word. They left back for Pendleton, and all of a sudden around 10 or 11 in the morning, my phone starts blowing up from various people saying that some random guys called them and said, Shore said I like to party. All girls.
Oh,
yeah, I'm over
at Shore. They're doing you a favor, bro. What are you mad about? Come on.
Including one was my girlfriend at the time. So they.
Now, wait, are you claiming you don't like to party, Ryan? Because that seems like the case you're making.
I'm just saying they called around 24 different girls blindly and said, hey, I'm a friend of Shore's who says you like to party. And by the way, like I said, I wasn't joking. They were all marked in the book as like you know, hot blonde.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like a girl I met in class, you know? Ah. So they just went through it and had this fucking map to be creeps. Oh, my God.
You know what? This definitely solidifies something for me that I've thought for a long time. I think the reason things like those pickup artist guys are so successful is because we don't actually teach guys how to pick up women. And I mean in a realistic way, not in a negging way. Like, you need to teach dudes from a young age, hey, you know what's not effective? calling a bunch of random people in another guy's address book and telling them they like to party. Listen, I'm not even saying don't do it because you'll be a creep, because clearly you're not worried about it. Don't do it because it's ineffective. It is not going to end well
you
for you.
You don't know that. Shores was passed out. They might have come over and partied and left.
Like, to me, the biggest one is catcalling.
And then
like,
called to complain about it. Yes.
To me, the biggest one is like catcalling from a car in the street. Like, that has never worked, you know? Like,
oh, yes, yeah. Yes. One of these days, she's going to kick off the shoes and start chasing my bumper.
Like, honestly, it's not even that effective. And it could be a little creepy, too. But if you pulled over and very nicely said, hey, it seems like you need to go someplace and we have an extra seat in the car, would you like a ride? That's at least more possibly effective than yelling,
Still nice ass, disturbing. As
you drive by.
Right.
Even if they're like, oh, man. Man, he likes my ass. We should bang. You're already gone. Yeah. You're gone.
Well, getting back to the time that I was told something was cool. I know it was a long route to get there. about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I was dating this chick up in L.A. Dating's a very gentlemanly term right. for what we were doing. You understand where I'm going with this. But anyways, I had no end game because I didn't need one. Let's put it that way. But anyway,
can I just ask a question, Ryan?
Yeah.
Who drove where?
I drove there.
Yes, you did. That tells you all you need to know about young men.
Yeah.
Like, we might be completely jobless or aimless or wandering for years of our life, but we will get into a car and drive 200 plus miles through traffic on a regular basis
yeah.
for the chance at sex. For the chance.
That is true.
Can I ask a follow-up question? Does she like to party?
Well, those Marines are aiming to find out, I'll tell you that much. No, anyway, so she was like a typical L.A. rocker chick, which if you're not familiar with this, let me just paint a picture. Like, on Friday night at the fucking metal bar in Hollywood, leather pants, tattoos, cigarettes, she's the rocket queen.
Right.
Lives with her parents at 35, has restraining orders against all her kids' dads, you know. So, you know, and I'm not just talking about this one. I'm homogenizing a lot of them into one person.
Right, right.
But believe me, a lot of them are like that. They're like worse than San Diego metal scene chicks, and they're all washouts too. So, anyways, that's who I was quote unquote seeing for like 3 weeks. Now, she had the worst kids. Like, I'm not saying like I met these kids and I'm like, I'm not sure I want to be a stepdad to these kids. Right. I mean, I'm like, I'm not sure how many more times I can be in a room with these fucking little monsters.
Right.
I'm like,
these kids should not be euthanized.
Yeah.
Just for the general.
Like, they were the kind of kids that should get their own reality show about how shitty they are. And, like, people would watch because it's amazing.
Catch Me Outside kids.
Oh, and worse. Yikes. Like, fucking nanny 911 type kids. Like, just like, literally, I'm in there and they're like screaming and banging a pot against a glass window trying to break it. Huh. And she's just sitting there smoking a cigarette, like, I can't fucking do.
Side note, one of the things that I'm really looking forward to as being a new father is the fact that my kid won't be like that because I won't stand for that shit, but I can't wait to see his friends who are like that because I can't wait to be the stern friend dad that doesn't put up with shit.
Oh, yeah. That's my dad.
Totally
that's my
that dad.
Dad.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I cannot wait for them to come over my house and start running around and pushing stuff over and just hearing like, hey! Hey!
Bobby steps out with a gi.
Bat-leth.
Who will enter the squared circle with me?
No, Bobby tosses him some tin and says, you have 20 minutes to make your armor.
I always threaten my my wife has some friends. With
you always
some...
threaten your wife, I
yeah.
know.
Well, that's true.
Absolutely.
I've been over for dinner.
I mean, I consider our marriage just a big threat, but I always threaten...
No, that's a follow-through on a threat.
I always threaten her friends. They have kids, and they have much more of like a liberal, never say no to your kid type raising kids policy.
Oh.
And I love them. But like sometimes the kids can get out of hand and stuff, especially if they're boys and they're running around. You know, boys tend to be a little bit more antsy. And I always say, like, give them to me for a week. Let me take them camping and I will fix your child. Because there's something about camping. You can't get away. Like, you're hiking 10 miles in. It doesn't matter if you don't like it or you want popcorn that night. You're not getting shit and you're not going anywhere. And you're going to dig the latrine because I told you to.
Dude, they wake up in the morning. The kids wake up. Bobby's not even there. He's like hiding in the tree like Predator. They can't even see him.
Oh, I'm covered in mud. Yeah. I'm making weird bird noises.
Anyway, so I go up to L.A. to see this chick. And, again, lives with her folks. On the way up, she goes, hey, stop and grab like a six pack for yourself. You know, if you want something to drink, I'm like, all right, stop at a 7-Eleven, grab a six pack of ale. I go over there. I'm in her kitchen. You know, we're not hooking up at the moment. We're going to spend the day together, then go out at night, and she's getting a sitter, and I'm going to go back to San Diego, and that's probably going to be the last time I saw her anyway. Okay. But anyway, I'm in the house, and I put the six-pack on the stove. We're in the kitchen just talking. I open one. Her dad walks in, grown fucking geriatric man, and he goes, "Motherfucker, I'm a recovering alcoholic."
Oh,
and I was like, I was like, no shit. Yeah, you are. And so he starts just screaming at me. And like he's like, pour him out. I'm like, fucking hey. I'm like, I open them. Like, you have to open each one, pour him down the drain. I'm like, look, go. I'm disarmed. So I'm not going to hold you down.
I like the picture of Shores just chugging them as quickly as possible. I get rid of him. Hang on. I'm getting rid of him.
You right. think that did not occur to me? It absolutely occurred to me that he was watching.
Here's my instant thought when I hear that, because I would panic all of a sudden. I would get that really antsy feeling you have where you fucked up inside somebody else's house.
Right, and that's what you feel.
Yeah, and I would have to go immediately to this, which is, I'm a recovering alcoholic too. These are non-alcoholic. Have one with me.
And then just fucking break his sobriety of 7 years.
Wait, he won't know. You down three real quick. Get the fuck out of the house.
See, my thought is like, he yells, I'm a recovering alcoholic. You come back with, I'm a professional alcoholic. Professional. Albrecht's recovering. Get the fuck out of here. Trying to do some work.
This is my house now. By the way, some guy at the bar said I could sleep here.
Because I paid his
$50. Yeah, I paid $50. So anyways, he leaves and I'm like, what the fuck? She's like, oh, don't mind him. He always does that. I'm like, oh, well, okay. So you knew
it's
this
just
would happen.
A bit he does. He's not even a recovering alcoholic. He just likes fucking with people.
He's the king of pranks.
I got the guy to borrow six beers. I'm the king of pranks.
I could just see, you know, those life hack videos and stuff. Yeah, yeah. He's got one of those life hack websites, and he's like, here's what you do. You take out the garbage disposal and fill it with a beer jug.
You're just asking for one, Hank.
You get your daughter to invite somebody over and make him bring beer. The only thing
that
he
was just a long con.
he was just pissed off. He's like, I told you to tell him a 30-pack.
This was a 3-week play to get a free 6-pack out of Shores.
All my daughter had to do was have sex with him 3 times. And that Labatt Blue was mine.
Oh, good shit.
Speaking of sexual encounters, Kevin Hart, man.
Dude, oh, yeah.
Fucked up.
Dude. My favorite thing about this is, I don't know how you guys heard about it. I heard about it by him publicly apologizing before any sex tape was even released.
Preemptive strike.
He got ahead of the curve.
He put that out, I think, like less than 24 hours after it was. So like it was very, very quick. That was very smart of him. For those of you who don't know what happened, this week, actually, it all seemed to transpire within a very short amount of time. Somebody released a tape that purported to show Kevin Hart kind of messing around on his wife. It shows him, definitely him, on a woman who's fully clothed, like lying down, seemingly
They're like canoodling.
Yeah, in a very intimate scenario. And then it later shows...
He's doing a lot of act outs, getting big laughs.
It later shows two people what looks like having sex.
Oh, no, it shows him in a full-on orgy, man. There was like a group sex going on.
But it from what I saw, and maybe they should release more of it, you can't tell for sure that it's him, but it does
What are you saying?
Him.
They all look the same?
Ooh.
So it seems to show Kevin Hart cheating on his wife. Almost immediately, he released a thing, and since he had so many more followers than this person, his went viral real quick, which was him apologizing to his family, his wife and his family, for making mistakes, which is kind of ballsy, because I feel like a lot of people would say, especially given the quality of the video and like what it shows, they would say, like, that's not me. Like, the one of him having sex, that's not me. That's somebody else.
I don't know. I'm just feeling like the ballsiest thing was making the apology on Facebook, because I know that if a video of me in a very suggestive, colorful situation was about to come out, the last thing Aaron would want to see is log into Facebook. Hey, baby.
Right.
I got news. If you scroll down just a little bit, you're going to see a video that looks like me.
What would be funny is if Kevin Hart and his wife were not even Facebook friends, and he's like, hey, will someone please tag my wife in this? I want her to see this apology. Yeah.
Well, what's crazy about this is right now, as far as stand-up comedians go, nobody's really bigger than Kevin Hart, and
there might
be like 5 people.
He's like 5'3", I think.
Yeah. There might be like 5 people on his level. Like you could be like, oh, Louis, Bill, a couple people. But like Kevin Hart is the man when it comes to stand-up comedy now.
He's the it comic right now.
And
he's what Dane Cook was in 2006.
Yes.
Arenas, movies.
Good example. And on top of that, huge in stand-up comedy, but also huge in comedic acting for movies. He is a superstar when it comes to movies, gets paid a lot of money. He is the guy. it is weird. It is weird that you mess around and seemingly from at least one of those tapes, knowingly doing so on camera.
Right.
That's the thing that got me is like when you're that famous,
yeah,
you cannot expect to not be caught.
Do you think that famous people nowadays get so fucking mad and jealous of like what Sinatra got away with?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you ever think they just sit there like
social media days?
Yeah. Like, but now, to be fair, Kevin Hart's part of his fame or rise, I should say, came from him using social media to get there, and it's also the thing that's now sinking him.
Right.
Yeah. But still, if I was like a huge celebrity, I would just think about what fucking JFK got away with, and what
you,
fucking
as a star
Dean
now,
Martin.
You have to imagine that everything you do,
yeah,
no matter what, at home alone in your bathroom, someone's gonna see it.
That's
somehow.
Dude, honestly, like, there's a time, let's say about 8 or 9 months ago, I was in the improv in Melrose. It was just me up there. I came off stage, I sat at the bar, and a girl came up and started talking to me. She wasn't flirting, and to be honest with you, she's being kind of annoying. She's like, oh, let's do comedy. But anyways, as she was talking, all I could think was, shit, there are people at this show that came here to see me. If one of them walks up and takes a picture of girl talking to me at the bar and then like post it on Facebook, it's going to look like I was on a date with a side bitch. It doesn't look like a comedy club in here. From this angle, it just looks like I told Aaron that I'm going to L.A., and now here's a picture of me at a bar with a chick. That's what it looks like.
Right.
So the whole time, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't be talking to you. I can't be talking to you. And there was no funny business going on.
If you were rich and famous now and you wanted to cheat, you have to treat the women the way, like, cocaine dealers treat the women that weigh out their cocaine, where they make them like come and strip down to just a bra and panties so that they know they're not stealing cocaine.
Right.
You have to do that first so I know that you don't have anything on you, okay? And while we do this, I'm going to yell about how platonic this is. All right, now that I'm sure there's no visual recording devices.
Or you have to have anyone you fuck around with killed and then have the people that kill them killed. Two layers of protection.
That's just a vicious cycle. Yeah. It keeps going, I feel like.
Well, okay, so here's the two things. So one, you're an asshole if you cheat. You shouldn't do that. If you want to be famous and do your whole thing, just go divorce your wife. I know they're going to take a lot of money from you, but you're Kevin fucking Hart. You'll never miss money.
Real quick, let's take this opportunity. Open invitation, Kevin Hart, come on the podcast, talk to us.
Yes.
All right?
And that's horrible, and that's a shitty thing to do, assuming that he doesn't have some kind of open relationship with his wife because he has to do this apology and stuff. Otherwise, who are we to judge, you know, if that's their thing?
They've already said, like, there's no divorce talk. I'm like, I think they have a don't embarrass me clause. Like, look,
I don't know if you guys know if this is true or not, because I just saw someone comment this. Supposedly, the wife he's with now was the woman he cheated on his previous wife with.
Yeah. Right. And he's talked about that on podcast.
So she can't be really surprised.
Well, I always say this. I'm always like, listen, I know that when you steal someone away from someone else, and I've been on all sides of this equation, it's so hard not to tell yourself that it's because you're special and just a fucking stud.
Right.
Moreover, that person was a piece of shit.
Right.
So the only reason this happened, I'm special, they're a piece of shit, but in reality, more often than not, it's because you're now with someone who's stealable.
Right.
All right, they can allow themselves to be stolen.
Yes.
Yeah, and he has talked about that openly on podcasts before about how he was dumb and he used to cheat and why that's a dumb young thing for young people to do, and you know, he doesn't do that anymore. So, yeah, whatever.
The camera's around.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But here's the weird thing. So this person has threatened or blackmailed him for money, and he wasn't going to pay, and that's why she was coming out.
Not a little bit of money either. $15 million.
Right. And what's crazy is this person...
I would have settled for one.
This person who sounds from the way she is talking like it's a she, so I'm assuming it's a she. This person made a bunch of statements openly stating that they were blackmailing him. She said, oh yeah, he's coming out with this because he knows I've been trying to get money for this. I'm trying to get paid. And
is she aware that's a crime?
Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, do you know what you're admitting to? And the FBI has already found this person, and they are now under investigation. She will be in way more trouble than he is.
Oh, yeah.
Will almost certainly do jail time, almost certainly, because this is a felony. This is felony extortion and blackmail. It's for an incredibly large amount of money. I am just shocked at the fact that we live in this, like, internet culture of... I'm doing what I think, and I'm trying to get my money for it. So much so that you will blackmail a person, openly admit to it with pride, and not realize that somebody's probably going to ask some questions.
That's like stealing something, and then a cop is like, hey, you can't steal that. No, I'm just taking it. Yeah. I'm not stealing, I'm just taking it.
No, it's even better, because it would be as if you stole something from Best Buy, then went on that person's website and said, this piece of shit didn't work. I stole this from the Best Buy in Mission Valley, and you wouldn't believe how crappy it is.
Yeah. One-star Yelp.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, it's so crazy about the greed on people, because, I mean, for a person like this, $500,000 would change their fucking life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin would have probably paid that
immediately.
That makes this go away. But once you get up into not 1 million, not 5 million, 15 million, where he can't just make that go. Even someone as rich as him can't just make 15 million go away.
Well, plus they were dumb about it. They went to a bunch of news sites and like tried to get them to buy it from them instead of going to him and saying, would you like to buy it from me? And so he had no choice, because he's like, even if I bought it from you now, other people already know this tape exists.
Right, right.
It is pointless for me to give you money. The best thing I can do is go on Instagram.
Worst criminal ever.
Criminal ever in so many ways. Listen to me. Whoever you are, you fucking suck at being a criminal.
Yeah. I like this, because this is the opposite of vigilante justice.
It is.
Bobby's doing vigilante criminal right now.
Yes.
He's telling you fucked up.
He's like, if I were me, I would have gotten a fake cop suit.
Yes. And a blow dart gun, gone over to Kevin Hart's house.
And said, give me $50. I want $50.
I want to take a quick tangent real quick, because you mentioned as far as how the level Kevin Hart is at, you mentioned Bill Burr and Louis C.K.
Right.
Louis C.K. is currently sort of embroiled in that does he jerk off in front of chicks thing or not.
Right, we talked about that.
Every ounce of my being is just hoping that Bill Burr does not turn out to be a piece of shit.
Oh, you know my God. I mean?
Just don't let him be a creep somehow.
That's right.
Keep Bill Burr as a hero.
I am just terrified for the legacy of Mr. Rogers. I think at any moment something horrible is going to come out about something that went down in 89 that involving like a kid, a puppet, and like a confused, passed out lady. But my point is, I am always worried about the same thing. Like, oh, so many of these guys are falling by their own hand. Right. I'm like, oh, God, who's next?
You know what's funny? This is making me think of something. I think we should start calling the Jim Norton effect. For those of you guys who don't know Jim Norton, he's a comedian who openly talks about just having a very, very degenerate sex life, I guess is what you would call it. He talks about banging prostitutes and transvestites and just a bunch of stuff. But if somebody were to say, Jim Norton sexually assaulted me, that would be really hard for me to believe, because he's so honest about the seediness of who he is. However, if all of a sudden Jeff Dunham came out and it turns out he was like trying to attack women, I kind of believe it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know what? I got it. You know what? In one way, I get it.
Right.
But in another way, like, it's kind of weird what people will and won't admit to. Like, for instance, Laith Garrett, that singer from the 70s, that guy admits to transvestite prostitutes and heroin. Okay. He admits to paralyzing his best friend while driving drunk and then never, you know, compensating him a penny. He won't admit he's bald. He won't admit he's bald. That's the one thing he won't fucking cop to.
But
you never know what's the one thing that person be like, well, that's something to keep under wraps.
Right, but he's got his whole sex life out. See, that's the thing.
Yeah,
if they're honest about the sex life, I feel like one puppet comedian might be hiding something, but Jim Norton has told us everything.
And dude, also, interesting thing about Louis C.K., I don't know if you guys saw this recently, the woman who sort of started the ball rolling on the Louis C.K. allegations.
Is that Jen Kirkman?
I think that was her name.
Okay.
She just came out again and said that Louis was never inappropriate towards her in front of her. She wasn't talking about him. She was just talking about life on the road for women in general.
Going back, Bobby, I'm still thinking about what you said.
Okay.
And here's the difference between admitting to those two things. And again, I'm not saying Jim Norton has done any of this. But if you told me, like, I'm bisexual, I have very, like, kinky sex with male prostitutes in an alley, my thought would be like, well, that's your choice, man.
Right.
You know, that's what makes you happy. Oh, I also raped a girl once. Like, that's hurting. That's different.
Right.
Whole different ballgame.
True.
Jim Norton's not hurting anybody.
True. Yeah, see, because Jen Kirkman, when she said it on podcast, she was saying this happened, but she didn't name names as to who did it. So I guess, I haven't seen this news article, but I guess she has come out and said the person I was talking about wasn't Louis, which is weird. Because that means that then there are multiple people, apparently, in comedy who have this thing. And listen, I am a guy who's looked wide into the world of very illicit sexual things. I have not heard about this a lot, about holding a door closed and jerking off in front of somebody and not letting them leave. That seems a little weird and random, and it would be weird that there'd be multiple people in that field doing it.
That's a high level of multitasking, first of all.
It is.
You're concentrating, you're focusing. I don't know. I don't think
Are you doing the little chain thing with the left hand? Like, I got a lot of questions.
Dude, I have trouble keeping my beagle in the door, like, when I try and get the mail. Right.
And that is not a euphemism, by the way.
Yeah, fucking dog, he weighs like 8 pounds. I'm like, oh, shit, he almost got out.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, like, a human that has hands and screams.
Like, honestly, and I don't mean to make light of this, because this is obviously, if these allegations are true, it sucks, and I feel very sorry for these women. But I have thought before, like, oh, my God, how's he doing this? Maybe he's doing it with the power of his persona, because he's such a high-up comic, if it was Louis who was doing this. But otherwise, like, maybe he's just got a sweet front kick. Like, they're coming, you know, he's teeping them away.
That's just a crazy thing to me. Like, because she just came out and said that she wasn't talking about Louis.
Right.
Just a weird thing. She's like, hey, here's this crazy thing that a male comic did. And a bunch of them are like, oh, my God, Louis did that to me, too. And then she's like, whoa, I wasn't talking about Louis.
Yeah, right.
Whoops. another thing that I want to go talk to you guys about is recently a comic out of San Diego got on Conan. We've had her on the show, Taylor Tomlinson.
Yeah. Very, very funny.
And it's great. It's great to see that happens.
She's one of the comics where, like, you're glad she made it to
TV.
Yeah.
Because you know why? I'll tell you this. I'll say this to everybody when they're like, oh, man, I hate that other comic. I think a lot of it comes from somebody either thinking that they're better than that person or that person doesn't deserve to be where they are. I don't think many people see Taylor and think she doesn't deserve to be where she is, because she's
hilarious.
Nobody
thinks they're better than Taylor either, because she's amazing.
Yeah, she's hilarious. She grinds like a motherfucker. She puts the time in. She's really funny. She deserves to be there and further. And so, like, when people see her, there's not a lot of people who are like, oh, dang, Taylor.
Right.
But anyway, something happened, though, when it happened. That, I've seen about 5 or 6 people that I've worked with when they were nobodies become somebody. And this happens every time it happens, is people that, I don't know, passed by them in a hall once,
right,
or had very little interaction, take to social media and start just kissing their ass so hardcore, where it's, you're almost embarrassed for the person doing it. Like, I see to some guy that, like, maybe did open mics, like, when that person was just making it. They may have talked once, hi, how are you? And it's like, I'm so happy for my best friend.
Yeah.
I always knew you could do it, and remember how you said that you'd take me with you. I just want to say that my best friend is, like, I'm like, dude, you don't know this person. What do you think's going to happen now? They're going to DM you like, thanks for the plug, man.
Yeah.
You know, Conan said they need someone for next week.
Because this
has
happened several times, not just with Taylor, other people before getting on TV.
Yeah.
There's a difference between, because I'll repost them like, hey, here's a friend of mine, check them out, they're funny. There's a difference between like, hey, check out this person, they're funny. And then someone who's like, hey, look at my good friend who made it on TV.
When you make it about you, I'm not saying you shouldn't put shit out when someone makes it out of your town. That's a big thing. It's very cool.
Yes.
And, you know, I would never make fun of you if you were just like, hey, this check out this person I know. But when it becomes like, yeah, you know, I remember the first time that her and I were doing clubs together. And she came to me for a lot of advice, and you know, that tag at the end of the TV bit there—that's mine. But you know, like, yeah, don't make it about you.
Well, right. I think there's two things going on, and I actually, when that happens, I want to do a controlled experiment to see which of the two it is. Which is, if somebody could put that Facebook post up, but only Taylor or whoever the comedian is gets to see it, would they still put it up?
Yes, they would.
Or if you could put it up and everybody except Taylor would get to see it, would you still put it up? Because I think there's two competing things.
They would do both. I think the same person would do both.
But, yeah. Okay,
first of all,
they
want Taylor to see I'm backing you. Second, they want people to think that they're good friends.
What if you have to pick? So which one would they pick? Because I think the two competing things are, one is that, oh my gosh, maybe if I compliment her, she'll like me, and maybe I get to go on tour with her, or maybe I'll get to open for her, or blah, blah, blah.
If they had to pick, the second one. They want people to know.
That's what
to
I think.
That,
like, I agree with you. I think
it's a realist that is like, hey, look who I'm rubbing elbows with here. Because you know what, really? When it comes to social media, I think everyone deep down isn't trying to impress other comics. They're trying to impress their friends from high school.
Right.
They're trying to be like, hey, I'm really making it, when really they, like, you know, they're making $0.
Yeah. But,
you know?
But if you think about that, that's a great, like, that's a great validation of what you've done. Like, I did a show with this person, or I somehow know them, I'm connected to them in some way, and they're on Conan. What does that say about me? most of us seeing that goes, yeah, I mean, we've all done a show with Taylor at some point. That doesn't make me famous.
Right.
But that person's person from HR or accounting in their office is going to see that and be like, oh, my God, he's hanging out with these people on Conan.
It's also got, like, that hipster appeal. Like, I knew her before everyone else did.
That's a good one, too.
That's true. Yeah, no, I think that everyone wants to make their town of bumfuck Oklahoma feel like they're living a jet-setting life out here.
Yeah.
And look at all the people. It's the equivalent of name-dropping.
Right.
It's these people that go like, oh, my God, do you want to hear a funny story? I was coming out of this pool party, and I totally disappointed this whole busload of people because they were expecting to see the famous person that lived there. There's no funny part. That's just you telling me that you were at a pool party at a famous person's house and didn't want to name them because you're probably lying. But, like, you know, that's the same kind of thing.
They weren't even supposed to be at the pool party. They got there because they paid someone's bar tab. And the guy said, hey, you can go to my pool party.
Someone said I could swim here.
I can't believe you're kicking me out right after breakfast. I paid $50 for this.
Yeah.
I still like to think I basically pioneered Airbnb.
By the way, a night in a downtown loft.
Yeah.
How much did he have to drink in that loft?
I mean, yeah.
And then breakfast.
Yeah.
Plus a movie.
Plus 3/4 of American Beauty on the foot of my bed.
I thought really going back to that story, cause it's still amazing to me. I was thinking you're gonna come out the next morning. He's be covering himself in rose petals slowly. I don't know why I thought that.
You know, interesting thing about being on Conan too, and this isn't just Taylor. We all have a lot of friends who've made it to Conan. And this is just comedy in general. We all want to get booked at clubs. Then we all want to get on the road. Then we all want to get on TV.
Yeah.
No matter what level you hit, it's kind of nothing. You know what I mean?
Like, it is very empty.
I have a bunch of friends who've been on TV. We all do. Friends who've been on TV, been on Conan. They're still doing free shows. They're still doing $50 shows here and there. It's just like no matter what level you try to get to, you get there and like it's.
I guess you're right. You know, I mean, think of this, guys. Think of this. Think that when you first started, I know personally, when I was doing open mics, not even at clubs, at bars, my weekly schedule, this is my whole life, was Winston's and OB on Fridays, then the Blarney Stone Bar on Sunday nights.
Both shitty bar shows, in case you listeners don't
then
know.
Then Brick by Brick on Tuesdays, and then repeat just 3 minutes each. And all of a sudden, when someone told me how to get on the list for the open mic still, at the Comedy Store, even that was like, oh my God, I've made it. I could tell people at home I was on the stage at Comedy Store for 3 minutes for zero people, you know? Yeah. So everything does seem like, oh, that's the big next step.
Right.
Right? When in reality, it's nothing.
Now, don't get me wrong. I would fucking love to be on Conan. It'd be fucking amazing. But realistically, it wouldn't do anything for me. Like, more people would see me, but I'd still be out here doing shitty bar shows, doing club shows, trying to get booked and maybe not. You know,
asking
what I mean?
For Coke in the bathroom, and the guy says he doesn't have any, and then some guy says he does, and it turns out to be Ajax soap, and you get a sinus infection.
And now you're in the ER.
Yeah, now you're in the ER, and then you tell the doctor, hey, some guy said I could sleep here. All right, let's call it a week, guys. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby. See you next week. Cruising with the Twos.
Oh, man. He likes my ass. We should bang.
Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.